Well, good morning. It's always good to be back. It's always good to worship with you. It's always good to visit again. And so this morning, I'll warn you right now. There is some verbal interactivity that we're going to have. And there, what I mean by that is that I'm going to ask you to respond sometimes in different ways. And so, don't worry, you don't need to touch each other. You don't need to get in contact with each other, but rather we're gonna talk this one through a bit. So, this is why the first thing. So Joseph there is gonna turn the slides for me. I'm grateful for that, and he's gonna be my verbal clicker. So, first of all, first slide, next slide. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about this for a second. Wow, okay, that was interesting the way that. Okay, all right. I guess whatever. So here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to think about this for about 30 seconds, okay? What are adjectives that you would associate when you hear the name Jesus, all right? So think about that for another 20 seconds. What are some adjectives that you would associate with the name Jesus, all right? And then in a moment, in about 10 seconds, I'm gonna ask if you wanna share. Feel free to share your answer out loud. So think. Sorry?
Christ.
What else? What other adjectives would you associate with the name Jesus?
Son of God.
Son of God, okay. A couple more. Heard something back there. Sorry?
Savior?
I heard something back there. One more. Sorry? Almighty. And so a lot of times this is what we think of, right? There are certain ideas, certain images, certain connotations we have when we hear this name Jesus. And so if you go to the next slide here, you heard the scripture reading from today, and let's look at it one more time. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says, You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And so just to put this back in the context for you, if you're not familiar, this is the part in history when Moses has brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and now they're at Mount Sinai. And at this place, this is when God is actually speaking to the Israelites. In fact, it got to the point where they're surrounding this mountain, and on this mountain there began this, above it, there was all this kind of thunder and lightning and fire, and people were a bit freaked out. And at one point, they hear the voice of God audibly. And God speaks to them, and the people kind of back up, and they're thinking, we can't take this, we can't handle this. And so in the midst of that, God gives these words, God gives these what we call them commandments to the Israelites. And one of them is this. It says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. A lot of times when I've heard this verse being preached, a lot of times it's usually used in the context of, you know, don't say God's name in the wrong way, right? I don't know about you, but I mean, I've got some friends, when they hear the name Jesus Christ, they think it's actually a swear word. They don't actually know it's the name of God, right? And so a lot of times we tend to be careful about this. In fact, we would tell, let's say, our kids that, you know, you don't want to say OMG, right? You don't want to say, oh my, right? Because you don't want to misuse God's name. And yet, on the one hand, yes, there's something about the reverence of God's name. You want to treat it in a way that's not just respectful, but that's holy. But could it be that the using of God's name is actually much deeper than just what you say and how you say it? You know, a lot of times, you look into the next slide, and a lot of times, you'll see in the Bible, a lot of times it says something like, in the name of, right? And so sometimes you'll see, you look at Book of Esther, right? It says, you know, when when King Xerxes had this decree, it went around and said, in the name of Xerxes, dot, 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 right? Or maybe you've talked about, you know, in the name of Nebuchadnezzar, dot, dot, dot. And a lot of times they'll say, in the name of the Lord, dot, dot, dot. And a lot, and so what does that mean? In the name. Because usually when you go and you represent something or someone, you go in that person's name. And so a lot of times, what would happen is that whenever a king was sending his entourage to the next country, right? And that's one of the reasons. And so there's that one point when Nebuchadnezzar sends his people to see Hezekiah, and they say, in the name of Nebuchadnezzar, this is what I'm saying to you. It's as if the king was there himself, making that proclamation. And so that person who went there not just came on his own terms, but he came in the name of the king. He came representing the very words of the king. So this idea of in the name, to go in someone's name is to represent that person, to represent that thing. If you remember, over the last 2 or 3 years, there were some people during a newscast, especially with female news reporters, who as they were doing this live hit, they would walk by and they would yell something obscene. And later on a few days, there were times when that person's employer fired them. And at first you'd be thinking, well, it was on their own time, it wasn't on company time, and yet, wherever they go, they're representing their company. And so the company felt they had the right to say, when you do these public things that do not reflect who we are, you no longer represent us. In that case, you're no longer employed by us. So what does it mean for us now to go in the name of God? If you like, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. This is the next. You got Joseph's on this. He knows exactly what he's doing back there. And this is what Paul reminds his people. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul reminds his people. Paul reminds the people that are listening. You're not just yourself now. When you claim to be a Christian, you're not just living for yourself. You're not just behaving on your own behalf. You are now actually ambassador of God. Right? He says there, you are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And so this idea of using the name of God, the commandment that says, do not misuse God's name. A better interpretation might be, do not misrepresent God. Whoever misrepresents him, God will not hold guiltless. I mean, it's one thing for someone who's not a Christian to perhaps say God's name in a way that is not reverent. Because in some ways, the person who's not a Christian does not represent God. But yet, for those of you who claim to be a follower of Christ, you now walk under the name of Jesus, wherever you go and whatever you do. Paul actually dives in this a little bit further in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 17. And this is what Paul continues on writing. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Scriptures, from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through the Father through him. So notice some of the things that Paul picks up here. And in fact, I'm going to ask you, you see this on the screen right now, just start saying them in order. If you just say it out loud, if you say it at the same time as someone else, that's fine. All right? What's the first one? All right? Keep going. So Paul is saying that if you are going to do things in the name of Jesus, these are the reflections of who God is. So take a look at this list again. And here's one question to ask yourself internally. I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud. But right now, just do a quick evaluation of yourself. If someone were to look at you, which of these adjectives would they associate with you? Because if you are a Christ follower, these are the representations of who God is. The fact is right now is that we are living in a world that seems to be changing almost by the hour. And part of it is now there's almost this collective anxiety that's just permeating, not just through your families, not just through your neighborhood, but almost it seems as if it's global. There's just almost a sense over the last few days that the world will never be the same. The things are going to be different. We may not know how, but somehow it's going to be different, right? And people tend to react in different ways when they face fear and anxiety, when they seem to have no control, right? I mean, to walk into a No Frills and to see a lineup that goes through the back, you know, around the corner. You walk into a Walmart and half the shelves are empty, right? I still don't get this whole thing about toilet paper. And yet, what does it mean to be a representative of Christ at this time? What does it mean to actually walk and to speak and to do whatever it is in his name? You know, the other day, I saw one person who posted on Facebook, her husband, his birthday, I think, was on Friday, right? And because of all the chaos, they didn't really do a party or anything. And so on Saturday morning, you know, she woke up and she was like asking, hey, you know, she was trying to find her husband. Didn't know where her husband was, right? Wondering, where did he go? And so finally got a hold of him on his phone. And it turns out what he did was, you know, he's a pastor of a church, and he actually called up some people who he knew were being self-isolated right now and was asking, you know, what do you need? And they're saying, well, we kind of need this, we kind of need this. Like, okay, so he actually started driving around. He just drove to all these different places, trying to find whatever this, bringing this stuff to people who need it in his congregation. Right? I mean, that's how he celebrated his birthday. What does it mean right now to walk and to do in the name of Jesus? And maybe one of the questions we got to start asking is, right now, some of the actions that we have, some of the things that we do, on whose benefit is it for? Which is, I think, is a tricky question sometimes. But maybe one of the things we got to start asking is, okay, this person around me, what do they need? Right? I mean, obviously, you look around this room right now, and there are people who aren't here right now, for whatever reason. Maybe one thing you do later this afternoon. I mean, even looking around the room right now, is there one person that whose face you don't see right now? Maybe later on, you know, give them a quick phone call, send them a text and say, hey, we missed you this morning. How are you doing? What do you need? How can I pray for you? Even just that simple touch, because especially nowadays, who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, right? Like right now, our church, Mimical Baptist, we're meeting this morning. But again, who knows how much longer that's going to happen for, right? Things will change. It was interesting. Thursday morning, Wednesday night, you might remember that the NBA shut down everything, right? Suspended the whole season. And one of the things that I do is, as a volunteer, I'm one of the chaplains for Raptors 905. And so if you remember the storyline, the Raptors played Utah on Monday, and one of their guys were infected. And all of a sudden, by Wednesday, all the Raptors staff and players were under self-isolation. And then it turned out that all the Raptors 905 people were now in self-isolation. I remember now going to the VP of operations saying, what does this mean? Right, and I remember, like, for this hour or so, I was kind of like in this state of, what do I do? I don't know. What do I do? Like, do I self-isolate? Do I not self-isolate? Am I supposed to? Am I not supposed to? What's the best practice here? All these things are going through my mind, right? And who knows, in the next few weeks, how things are going to change. You've got some people who are worried right now because, and some things are longer term, right? In terms of what exactly is the economic hit that people are going to be taking. I mean, there are people right now who are unemployed because of what's happening over the next 5 weeks. What do you do with them? How do you respond individually and as a church? But things aren't even much more immediate than that, right? People who are missing prescriptions, people who actually have no food because you had a bunch of other people who just cleared out all the shelves, what do you do with that? Last night I read a post from one of our pastors down in Parkdale area. You know, we talk about this idea of you self-isolate, you stay home, you work from home, and yet for a community that's transient, for a community that has no home, what do you do? For a community where right now the shelter is really the only place they can access, and yet they're telling you to socially distance yourself, what do you do? I'm going to guess there are going to be some kids around you right now who just have this heightened anxiety right now because they're looking around saying, okay, in some ways, yeah, I don't get to go to school for 3 weeks. Cool. But at the same time, all these things are changing. What's going to happen? You know, I've said before that this generation right now, Generation Z, is one of the first generations that are saying, we will not have it any better. We'll actually be worse off than our parents will. And now they look at this. How are they going to handle it? And maybe this is one of those moments where you've got to look at someone and say, how can I help you? What do you need? How can I bring compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience? How can we bear with one another, forgive one another, love one another, so that Christ would dwell in you? In a lot of ways, this is our wake-up call. Church of God, this is your wake-up call. Because how you respond now will show the world who Jesus is. How you respond now will tell people, this is the God that we serve. And so who is the God that we serve? How will you respond? Because at the end of the day, God reminds us. He not only challenges us, he commands us. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You shall not misrepresent the name of the Lord your God. But rather, in whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So before the worship team comes back up to continue to lead us, take a minute. Take a minute and ask, okay, today, what's one thing I can do? What's one thing I can do in the name of the Lord Jesus? What's one thing that you can do to share the love and the grace of our God? Take a minute and think of that one thing, and then do it. Whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you very much, Pastor, for your message.